因缘。Hebrews 5 verse 12. Hebrews 5 verse 12. Okay. We're having some feedback. Could you mute your microphones? For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. The writer of Hebrews is saying something very important. And I will call that, you know, the teacher's accountability, is that while he teaches the students, he expects them to learn. You know, every teacher must have a goal in their teaching. Sad, but it's in Africa or maybe Ghana that you realize that your professors don't have any. They just come to teach. In fact, their goal is to make money at the end of the month. You know, so when a student comes to the teacher and says to them, please, I don't really understand all that you have been teaching. You know, the professor or the lecturer or the teacher gets angry, gets bored, shouts on you. Sometimes he might even tell you, he might not get angry, he might not get bored, he might tell you, you just go and see any of your colleagues who understand, they will explain it to you. Right? So he's not in for something good in the life of the students. There's no goal. In fact, the goal, like I said, is just to make money. So he doesn't care if you understand really or not. I'm sure some of you have had teachers when you say, I don't really understand. They'll say, you, let's move forward. You understand. Right? So there are teachers like that. But every good teacher has an expectation of their students. Every good teacher. Every bad teacher has an expectation. Every good teacher has an expectation. The expectation of the bad teacher is just to be paid and then they go. Or they are just to tick. You know, they are just to tick. Stand there and tick. Oh, I came to class today. Tick. I came to class on Thursday. Tick. And then I'll come to class next 2 weeks, Tuesday. Tick. I'm done. I was in for the ticking. But every genuine teacher has an expectation. And so the writer of Hebrews is making a very profound statement that there was a time where they ought to be teachers. Okay, thank you for the comments. Let's have the scripture stay. For when the time, ye ought to be teachers. You ought to be teachers. There's a time where we are teaching you. And by this time, you ought to know some things because you have been taught. Right? You should have been taught. I mean, you have been taught. You should have been teaching someone by now. You have been helped. You should be helping someone by now. Right? So there's an expectation. And it's quite frustrating, right? To have a child, which I think it should be, and then you have to teach the child to do something over and over and over again till the child is a man, and you are still teaching the child to do. When will the child be able to learn? So there's certain things you are not supposed to be taught again. You have already been taught. You should be teaching someone by now. But when we still have to teach you the same thing again, we have to still come back to you and say, this means this, this means that, for years, then there's a serious problem. So the writer of Hebrews is saying that he has an expectation for when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers. Then he says, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You have need that somebody should teach you the oracles of God again, the basic principles of the oracles of God. You should have been a professor instructing others by now. But instead, you need to be taught from the beginning of the basics of God's prophetic oracles. And unfortunately, there are people who remain babes and never grow. I remember one time ago, I told someone, do this, what it means, this is what it means, this is what. Years later, we had to come back again to whatever it is that we had been speaking about. So, everyone must have a time of teaching, and that's quite clear. But there's the time we have to expect you mature enough to be able to handle certain things. Ye have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. So there's need for spiritual growth. The writer of Hebrews tells us. I mean, I keep saying the writer of Hebrews because up till today, it's been a debate. It's been a long theological debate. Who is the writer of Hebrews? As to whether it was Paul or as to whether it was Peter. Some say it was Paul, some say it was Peter. So just until I discover who the writer of Hebrews was, and I'm convinced who he was, I could keep saying the writer of Hebrews. So there's an expectation. Right? We need something. We need you growing. You have to be waking up to pray. And they wake you up to pray. And they wake you up to pray. And they wake you up to pray. Years after, they are still waking you up to pray. There is a problem. You know, a 6-month-old baby who bed wets, that's okay. 7 months, that's okay. 1 year, that's okay. 8, 12 years, 15, 21, 25, 8, 32, 34. I mean, this is very serious, and we have to ask ourselves, what is going on? That's what it looks like. It's like we have taught you, but you are still babes. But you ought to be teachers by now. You ought to be professors by now, instructing other people in the way they should go. And often you find this in Christians who are not stable. Because the word of God deals with a constancy. To have spiritual growth, there is need for a constancy. There is a constancy. To grow spiritually, there is a constancy. There is a constancy. In Jesus' name, receive the grace to be constant and consistent in your walk with God. That we teach you in a short while, and there is already tremendous growth. in a strong we see you jumping on the things and teaching the same in a short while. All almost so pravaki the grace to stay constant. Acts 19 verse 18. Acts 19 verse 8. Verse 8 to somewhere around, yes, verse 11, 8 to 11. I'm going to show you a very interesting scripture, 8 to 11. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. So here's what happened. Paul preaches openly. Many people are born again. Many people believe the gospel. He starts to preach to them. Some in the midst of the people he had preached to were stubborn. So he separated the ones who had been actually listening. Then he went on to teach them in the school of Tyrannus for another 2.5 years. Also 2 years and a little over 2 years. Then see what happened. So that all that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. In 2 years, and maybe 2.5 years of teaching daily in the school of Tyrannus, they were grown enough to take the word of the Lord to the whole of Asia. You know, Asia, all that dwelt in Asia as a result of some who had given themselves to discipleship, who were expected to bear fruit in about 2.5 years, they were seen winning the whole city for Jesus. How many years have you been taught? 2.5 years. They were just taught. Maybe 2 years. Let me not even add half. 2 years. They were taught consistently. 2 years. They were taught consistently. 2 years. They were taught. Then after 2 years, the whole of Asia Minor had heard the gospel. How many years have you been taught? Since when did you come in contact with the gospel? I'm just trying to draw your attention to it, that sometimes backsliding also will be seen in your inadequacies to grow. Your lethargy towards growth. You ought to be professors by now. You ought to be teachers by now. You ought to be masters of zeal by now. We shouldn't now be having conversations on zeal. We shouldn't be having conversations on passion. We shouldn't be having conversations. These are things you should have mastered by now. We do not need to reteach you the old principles, the oracles of God, the elementary, the basic. So in 2.5 years, I could speculatively say the believer ought to have seen significant growth enough to take the city and to take, maybe let me not even use the city, could take your space for Jesus. 2 years is enough. We still have to now come and beg you, why are you not coming for meeting? Why didn't you show up for this? Why what's happening with you? He said, Pastor, I'm depressed. Why are you depressed? After all these things we have said to you, after all these things we have said all this time, what is happening?
Imagine I just wake up one day and I come on Podbean, I tell you that, please. Oh, I'm depressed.
The church will close down. The church has to close. I mean, we are all afraid and we are all depressed. We all need somebody to help us. You are, our pastor is now saying he's depressed. I mean, the church has closed. The church has closed.
I just feel like crying. People of God, let's cry.
Then somebody receives the crying at the middle.
Oh, I've also felt like crying. Say, why are you crying? Say, I don't know why I'm crying. I just want to cry. I feel like crying.
I'm telling you, the angel of God will say, hey, Sherry, we come wrong place. This will be church, or this will be morning center. We come to the wrong place. It's not possible. Yeah, it's not possible. We have to still be teaching you. Oh. I have to still tell you to pray. I have to still join meetings. I have to still tell that. We have to still be telling that ministry is God's will for your life. When would you just say that I believe this thing and I'm going to go for it? See, there's no prayers. There's no prayers. It's like we've not had prayers for 4 days, 5 days. It's like, yeah, Pastor told us that he wants to relax, so all prayers are cancelled. There will be nothing going on. There's not. Pastor says there's no prayers. But you can decide to be away from discipleship. For 2 weeks, you are off. Everybody should go and sleep. After 2 weeks, you now come and say, everybody come, I'm back again. Imagine you wake up to go to work at 4:30 a.m. or 5:30 a.m. and then the place is still dark like 8 p.m. The place is still dark. And we make inquiries and the sun says they've forgotten to show. The sun says I've forgotten to show. I've forgotten. I'll come next week. I'm going to rest. I've been circulating for the past hundreds of years. For this week, you people should allow me. I'm going off. There'll be no sun. There'll be no sun. I've changed my mind. Now I come out every 7 days. Every 7 days I'll come one. 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 So when we have to still say something, teach you the gospel, we've explained what it means to be saved. We've explained what it means to be born again. We've explained this. We've explained that. Now I'm not worried about, you know, those who are still coming. I love it when I have to teach them and I explain and I don't have a problem. You've been around 9 years, 8 years. You wake up one day and you tell me that, Pastor, what if my salvation is lost? Then what's the reason? You ought to be teaching other people by now. We don't have to be teaching to you and explaining to you things like this again. See, Pastor, what if tongues is fake? What if this whole Christian thing is not true? You ought to be prophetess by now. See, do not be very excited about stagnancy in your walk with God. See, if you've known me, I've grown steadily over the years. There are many things in my ministry that were not present. Imagine if I was the same way I was back then. Now, I've grown steadily over the years, and I'm still growing steadily over the years.
things that I could do now, I couldn't do then. But I've grown steadily over the years. Imagine there was that stagnancy. I've seen ministries I was not having, or ministries I probably did not recognize, that I've grown in steadily over the years. But you just do one, it doesn't work, then you are already giving up. No, you will have to grow. Are you listening? Do not be comfortable with what you are doing. There's going to be growth all around you. When something happens for the first time, it happens to you wrongly, you sit with your pastor, or you sit with your discipler, you sit with anybody who is ahead of you in leadership in the church, you explain to them, oh, this and this, they help you through it, your pastor helps you through it, your teacher helps you through it. Don't allow that thing happen the second time again, and you find yourself wanting. It means you didn't learn. It means you didn't learn. I don't have things happen two times and I'm shocked. I don't struggle with things two times. Because I would take the first instance as the one that I'm supposed to pick a lesson from, and I don't repeat it the second time. So there are things that you should grow into. Things you should grow into. Don't take lessons twice. Things you should grow into. We've been speaking about God. Up to now, you cannot sit down and teach somebody the word of God. It's not good. Up to now, you've been with me all these years, and you cannot stand before people and teach. Why? You can't stand before people and teach. Why? Why is that so? You can't stand before people and teach the word of God. We still have to be teaching you. I've had to grow throughout the years. If you knew me first, I was very timid. Those of you who knew me, I mean, some of you didn't even know me, but there were few people who knew me in level 100 or two. I was very timid. You barely will have me even cough. I'm telling you the truth. You barely will have me cough in the midst of people. I will not say a thing. I can be in a meeting. The meeting closes. I don't say a word. I'm not lying. One word you won't hear from me. I could show you a post Pastor Prince wrote about me maybe in 2017 or so. He spoke to me about how my words were difficult to hear. I would not say anything. I won't say anything. I'll be quiet. Yeah. Very timid. The only time you hear me is minister the power of God, minister, that's all. But I've had to grow through the years. When God told me, you are my leader, you are a leader, I said, me? From where? But look at me today. I rebuke people. I said, sit here, go here. I don't want you to do this again. Don't repeat this again. If you do this, I'll correct you. Go here, be here, do this. I naturally was not like, I've had to grow into things. I've had to pick up myself and be bold at decisions to be made. I've had to do all those things. I've had to get up and say, it's time to pray. I pray long hours. Nobody taught me how to. I said, no, the way the thing is going, if you don't pray long, it will not pick. It will not work. I've had to stay in dark regions, somber regions, praying for long, alone in the place. I'm sure if you put off the light somewhere, I wouldn't have been able to stand. Maybe as the years go, I'll send you to some of the dark places I go to. I've had to grow into those things. So why are you still sitting at one place and needing that we still have to teach you all of these things again and again and again and again? How many times will I have to tell you, be bold, God has called you? How many times? How many times will I have to tell you that God has called you? God has anointed you. God has put you here. How many times do you want me to say it? We still have to teach you the basic principles of the oracles of God. So let me tell you one of the things. As we deal with backsliding, let me not lie to you. I expect growth from you. How many times will I have to tell you, you can do it? Me, who told me I could do it? Who told me I could do it? Tell me, who told me I could do it? How many times will I have to tell you God has anointed you, has called you in the ministry? How many times? How many times? I see you growing in Jesus' name. That we would not have to teach you elementaries. You are 25 years. We are now teaching you A, apple. B, basket. C, cat. D, dog. 25 years. Oh, I mean, it's too much. So I'm expecting growth from all of you, everybody who is around me. Yeah. If you watch me carefully, I grow all the year. I'm growing. So if I'm growing and I'm expecting you to grow and I'm teaching you things to grow and I realize that you are not growing, I feel like you are not serious. We are not the same. We give you a task, you must go and do it. Boldly, not confused about the task. Say, do this, you go and do it boldly. Handle this, you handle it boldly. We are not whatever. So stagnancy is bringing me into what I want to tell you. Stagnancy is also a cause of backsliding. Stagnancy. You are stuck. You don't grow. You don't go. You don't do any. You don't grow. You don't go. My children, of whom I travail, that Christ be formed in you. How long, how many years will we have to travail? How long would you remain in the pails? A child, one that needs to be told, be here, do this, do that, do this, be here, do that. I mean, it doesn't help. So I see you coming out of stagnancy in your walk with God. I'm telling you, right now I should be resting as a pastor. If you don't know, I'm telling you. I should be resting. Those of you who have raised, you should be doing everything by now. By now you should be doing something. I should just come in into a service, not even knowing what the service holds. I just come in because the people have been trained. And you still have to come in and say that this to do this, this should do that. This is not right. But I believe your best. There's growth, not stagnancy. There's growth. There's growth. Not stagnancy. In Jesus' name. Right now, as we bring this session to a close, every stagnancy in your walk with God, you are moving forward. I command you to move forward
in the name of Jesus. Move forward in the name of Jesus. Move forward in the name of Jesus. Become a professor in this work. Not being one that we need to teach you the basic principles, the basic elements. In the name of Jesus, become unstoppable in your growth. Become unstoppable in your growth. Mature in the things of God. Oh, I see buoyancy, said the Lord. I see buoyancy, as the Lord will show me. I see buoyancy. Begin to be buoyant. Be flamboyant. You know, be a lot, be increasing, be multiplying. Let your disciples multiply. Let your gifts multiply. Let your abilities multiply. Let the ministry gifts on your life multiply in the name of Jesus. Grow into that space where you will be able to lead others and bring others into the light. For God has anointed you and His Spirit is upon you. He has anointed you to preach the gospel to them that are poor. He has sent you to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent you to set the captives free, recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord will be mighty upon your life in the name of Jesus. God's Spirit will be mighty upon your life in the name of Jesus. Begin to grow by the word of the Lord. Begin to grow by the word of the Lord. Begin to bat. Posto frati lekiza sombro takivi sefem vivo stontal brakitalia. Begin to bat. Begin to bat. Begin to grow. Begin to bat. Begin to grow. Begin to bat. Begin to grow. Begin to excel. Begin to be bold. Begin to be full of life and full of vigor. And begin to be enthusiastic. Begin to be energetic. Begin to be somebody that moves in the name of Jesus. You will not remain stagnant in the name of Jesus. Growth is yours. 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 You will not have need that we teach you the basic or elementary principles of the word of God. As we teach you, you grow speedily. In months, into years, your fruitfulness will be experienced and it will be seen. Your fruitfulness will be experienced and it will be seen. Become a teacher, a great teacher. As you teach whatever it is has been given you to teach, become a great teacher. As I have always said, we teach the same thing as we've been given. Become a great teacher of the things that you have been taught, the things that you have heard of me. The same, commit them to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. O disciple, commit them. Don't teach any other thing else. Teach the same things. Grow in the message. Grow in the spirit of the ministry. Grow in the word. Grow. See, know, hear. Heal the sick. Pray for them that are sick. And the glory of the Lord will be seen in your ministry. In the name of Jesus. Great grace is upon you, I pray. Great grace is mighty upon you. In the name of Jesus. Be blessed. 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 blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'll take the scripture again, and then we'll be out of here. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the actual words of God. I'll take it again. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the actual words of God. Father, we thank you that we are taking heed and we are growing in Jesus' name. Amen. So our time is up. Yes, we're making preparations for our Friday online services. I told you that you shouldn't wait for me to tell you that there's online. It has come to stay. Last Friday of every month, we have online, right? So we're going to be there, and I trust that we're going to be blessed. Amen. All right. So today also we're meeting 10 p.m. I trust that these sessions are shaping us. Trust that these sessions are shaping us. So make sure you don't miss out on any of the sessions. Yeah. If you substituted this ministry of the prophet and teacher for any ministry, I thank God for the rest of the ministry, but I enjoy it. Yes. I didn't know I was coming to this evening to teach you on stagnancy as a reason for backsliding. Just came in empty, just started talking to you, and already we have a teaching. So you see, every teaching, I feel that it's the Spirit of God that's doing something to us. Yeah, it's the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, it's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. So I believe that it's wired, it's like it's tailored to get us to a place. Yeah, it's wired to get us to a place. So we're going to be here all the time. All the time. Make it a habit to be there. We still have to tell you that you should come for meetings. Show up for meetings. No. I want to see all of you fulfilling the ministry in very powerful ways. That will be my joy. Yeah, that will be my joy. That will be my joy. So when I look at all of you, and all of you are flourishing in the ministry, then my joy is full. My joy is full. My joy is full. My joy is full. And we're going to see it. And we are seeing it. We're going to have mighty men of God and women of God. Yeah. Mighty, I'm telling you. It's just might all over. Might all over, different varieties, diversities of the gifts of God operating in our midst. Yeah. Yeah. Times are coming. We'll have the full demonstrations of all the offices in our midst. Yes, all of them. We will not lack even one. Yes, in its full-fledged glory. Yes, we will not lack even one. You say, what does the apostle look like? We say, this is an apostle. What does the prophet look like? We say, this is a prophet. How about an evangelist? Ah, this one. What about a teacher? Say, there's another one. How about a pastor? Oh, there are some. Yes. Full-fledged ministry of God in its diversity and in its beauty and in its splendor. I believe God for that.
So what about the ministry of the minstrel? Or let's say a music minister. So this is one. It's the same thing here. See, these are plenty, a lot of them. A lot of them.
Going to see the glory of God in our midst. The ladies, you are not left out. We are going to have fierce, I'm telling you, fierce. You see a lady prophesying, you will not be you will not believe it that this one is a lady, because you've not seen it like that in that fashion before. See a lady prophesy flowing. We're going to see her. I believe God for that. She's a teacher, teaching. Oh my God. Father, we thank you in advance for what our eyes will see. In Jesus' name. If you don't want to serve God, this place is not the right. But if you want to serve God, oh, it's the right place for you. Yeah, if you just want to be in church, you come for your car, money, prophesy. This, no, I think it will not work. We do that here, but that's not a culture. Yeah, I prophesy. Yes. And I see by the grace of God, the sick healed. Yes. So, is something that we'll do, but we have a focus. So if you want to serve God, you are in the right place. If you want to serve God, you are in the right place. If you don't want to serve God, then you are in the wrong place. But I believe that everybody here wants to have a relevancy with God, and I believe God for that. In Jesus' name.